Raise the alarm on my holy mountain. Let everyone tremble in fear, because the day of the Lord is upon us. It is a day of darkness and gloom, a day of thick clouds and deep blackness. But suddenly, like dawn spreading across the mountains, a great and mighty army appears. Nothing like it has been seen before or will ever be seen again. Fire burns in front of them, and flames follow after them. Ahead of them lies the land, as beautiful as the Garden of Eden. Behind them is nothing but desolation. Not one thing escapes. They look like horses. They charge forward like war horses. Look at them as they leap along the mountaintops. Listen to the noise they make, like the rumbling of chariots, like the roar of fire sweeping across a field of stubble, or like a mighty army moving into battle. Fear grips all the people. Every face grows pale with terror. The attackers march like warriors and scale city walls like soldiers. Straight forward they march, never breaking rank. They never jostle each other. Each moves in exactly the right position. They break through the defenses without missing a step. They swarm over the city and run along its walls. They enter all the houses, climbing like thieves through the windows. The earth quakes as they advance, and the heavens tremble. The sun and moon grow dark, and the stars no longer shine. The Lord is at the head of the column. He leads them with a shout. This is His mighty army, and they follow His orders.
Good morning, Patriots. I hope you guys are having a great day. I hope you're ready and you've done your homework. Here we are on lesson six, on chapter six, Hosea in End Times, Major Clues from Minor Prophets. You got the study guide up there. Tammy's got that. I got the answer key. Hope you guys have done your homework and are ready for this study of Hosea. I'm not sure if we can do this all in one lesson today. We might have to mush it into two. We'll see. I don't want to rush too much. I want to make sure that we really understand it. So I hope you guys are ready and are ready for some fun. This is probably the most interesting story in the Bible. Very, very interesting. Very odd and strange. And I think you're going to really love it when you put it all together, especially with the Golden Age. All right, ready? Let's pray real quick before we get started. Thank you again, Lord. We praise you and thank you that you are the King. You're the King of this world, and you know the end from the beginning. This story right here, Lord, you've written for us. You knew the plan way back when of where you were going to lead us to set humanity free. You always have mercy in mind, even when you have to bring down some chastening. You are always looking at how to restore us and to bless us. And I thank you, Lord, that we get to live in this day when we will see this great restoration. We're seeing it before our very eyes. What an honor, what a blessing, what a privilege it is. And also not only to live in this day, but to have the eyes to see it. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you have guided us into all truth, as you continually guide us every day until we get the truth brighter and brighter and brighter. Be with us now as we study your word. We bless your name and we bless your word. We honor your word and we want to understand it. We want you to speak to us and make it very clear to our hearts and to help us to honor you more and to be able to be effective in this battle, this great day of battle. And struggle to see your kingdom come and your will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. We thank you for how you're going to answer all these prayers made in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, guys. Yes. You ready, Miss Tammy? All right.
I am.
All right. So here, don't forget, hit the like button, everybody. Go ahead and do that right now. Right now, hit the like button and make sure you are subscribed and you have the bell rung so you'll know whenever we're doing a video, and make sure you always share, and I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. This is the website. You can find it on now melissaredpill.com or freedomforce.live, either one, Melissa Red Pill. Tons of videos. If you haven't seen the other videos that we did in this series, this is a I think about 17 different stories, maybe 15, whatever, of the minor prophets. We're breaking down each of the minor prophets that we never talked about in church, but they are amazing because they're telling us about this amazing day that we're living in. Now we realize why they didn't talk about it. Anyway, so you can catch up on those right here on the video section. Go in the playlist and you'll just search for, I'll just click on it right now. I'll show you when you scroll down just a tad, you'll see this group study on the minor prophets. We already have five of them in there for you to catch up. And here's the study guide for the end time study that we just completed about a couple of months ago. And then tons and tons of resources over there for you, absolutely free. You can also check out the audiobooks on the end times, as well as tons of videos about end times. And here's our social media. All right, let's get going. Here's my X account. I'd love for you guys to please go and follow the X account. I'm going to pop that real quick into the chat. Thank you so much. We've doubled in size over the past month or so, and I really appreciate it. So make sure that you're over there if you possibly can. You might have to get another phone number to be able to get on X if you were banned like I was. But it really, really, really appreciate that everybody is helping us to share. Please make sure to always comment, like, whatever you can do to help push these things out. This one right here, I thank you all for helping me push this one out. It's got 173,000 views so far. Yay! And so it's got like 4,000 people have reposted it and 12,000 hearts. And this really helps everyone to find us so they can find out the good news about end times. That's the point. That's always the point. It's how to draw people in so that they understand the wonderful news of end times. All right, so here is the chapter on Hosea. And so this one, before we even really get into the book of Hosea, I go into the information about who are the Israelites. And you already probably know this, but for those of you who do not, the true Israel was scattered. The tribes were scattered. When Peter and James were writing to the people, they said that they were writing to the scattered tribes, the dispersion. And we might have just passed over that verse thinking, oh, I don't, you know, let me just get to the part, to the meat of the book. But it's important that we understand who they were writing to, because they knew God's people had been scattered and that they loved the Lord. They just were waiting at that point for a Messiah. And so Peter and James were telling the first century believers that the Messiah had come, that what he had done, he had died on the cross, and it was because of him that our sins are forgiven. So anyway, so we're going to read that, but it's important to understand when you read the book of Hosea, who he's talking about when he's talking about Israel. It's really for every book, but especially this one, it really helps to piece this together. All right. So basically that's that first portion right there. First Peter 1, Peter is, he's writing as to the chosen ones who are living as foreigners in the dispersion. You see that right there in the dispersion. I'll make it a little bit bigger. Yes. And then you see James says the same thing. James, the servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes, which are in the dispersion, dispersed, like seed scattered. He had scattered us, our ancestors, all over the world. All right. So, along with that, we'll have Tammy go ahead and be my lovely Vanna assistant. And so would you read just that one little paragraph right there?
Let's always remember, Israelites are those who have the same faith as Father Abraham. Yes, Israel includes those of the bloodline of Abraham who believe God. Those Israelites have been scattered worldwide since they were taken captive into Babylon and Assyria. Also, Israel includes those who have been adopted into God's family by faith in Christ, who are not in the physical lineage of Israel. Being in God's family is not about physical bloodline, it's about faith. Just like Abraham, who believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness, whether by physical prodigy or by adoption, true Israel, those who truly love God from the heart, will be restored and enter 1,000 years of peace on earth.
Amen. Yay. Yay for us. How's that sound? Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm so glad. I see you guys over on the chat. I'm so glad to see you. So always remember that the blessing of God passes through faith, not through a bloodline. You receive or not receive Christ by your faith, okay? And if you remember, we just did the study on Obadiah a few weeks ago. that was about the Edomites, which was from Esau. Esau was clearly in the bloodline of Abraham, but he did not have true faith. And the Lord calls him out that he was a Satan worshiper, and he was not one of the, he was not going to receive the blessings, not at all. So he was, you know, he was an enemy, and not only of his brother Jacob, but he was enemy of the Lord. So you can tell the Bible says clearly the flesh profits nothing. Okay, so it's really important that we understand that. And so really what the Lord is after is our faith. And that is how we are identified as whether we love the Lord or not, whether we're in his family. So, yes, Israel includes those who are in the bloodline, as I said here, who believe God. And maybe likely, you are an Israelite, a physical Israelite. It's impossible to go back and trace your bloodline. The bloodline has gotten so mixed after all these years. It becomes just millions and millions. It becomes impossible. So it doesn't so much matter. We've been scattered. We've been mixed and all that. So but the point is, we still, even though we've been scattered, we still remember the Lord in foreign lands, even though we're, you know, not in the Middle East. We're not there. We still love the Lord. That's what matters, is our heart, that we remember him no matter where we are. And so those Israelites were taken captive. We're going to talk about that they were going to be taken captive into Assyria, which is basically, you know, Iraq, Iran area. And so it also includes someone who maybe is not in the physical progeny of Abraham, but has that faith. I think of like the people of, you know, the Asian people, you know, many of them were not, the tribes didn't scatter that direction. Some of the tribes scattered to India, but not really so much toward China and that area. Okay, fine. Many of the tribes scattered to the east, through into Europe and Russia, even still into Russia. And, you know, you can read this in the book called Missing Clues, Missing Links, Discovered in Assyrian Tablets. Anyway, there's much more detail about this. It's a very, very good book if you want to read more about that. But anyway, the bottom line is, if they have received Christ by faith, if they're walking with the Lord by faith, that's all that the Lord is looking for. It doesn't matter about the flesh. The flesh profits nothing. It doesn't really matter. It's either by physical progeny or by adoption. The Lord is looking for true Israel, truly those who love him from the heart. Now, so let's see what happened with Hosea, because this video is about the very strange thing that Hosea asked, that the Lord asked Hosea to do. And we're going to get to that real, real quick here. What in the world did the Lord ask Hosea to do, and why? Okay, so we're going to get to that. And the problem was, when the people of Israel, why did the Lord want to send them into captivity? Well, because they had fallen into this Baal worship, the same things we've heard that have gone on at places like Epstein Island. And the Lord could not allow them that to continue, or they would be snuffed out. It's the whole point of Satan doing it is to destroy a society and to kill off the children. And kill off the people thereby. So this is what the Lord couldn't allow to happen. He had to have them scattered to leave, so they would no longer be subject to that evil demonic practice and end up killing off the society. So again, with them doing this, they thought, in a crazy way, sounds outrageous to us, they thought they were serving God when they were doing these satanic sacrifices. And so they were actually, you know, of course, sinning against the Lord. And so the Lord told Hosea, I'll just tell you before we get to it, I'll go ahead and tell you, because you know, I like to tell, if I have the title of a video, I want to make sure that I tell you what it is, so you don't have to wait till the end of the video to hear it. The Lord told Hosea to marry a prostitute, someone who is clearly going to be unfaithful to him, which sounds outrageous. Why would God ever ask someone to do such a thing as that? But it's a picture of us, that he's married to us, and that we had been unfaithful. Our ancestors had been unfaithful to him. And we, each one of us, can identify with how we've maybe walked away from the Lord at different times in our lives. And so we can understand how that was. Well, this is what the whole of Israel was doing, this, these horrible satanic sacrifices. Instead of offering the true sacrifices that the Lord had told, they were offering these evil sacrifices, doing the Baal worship. And they thought that they were, in a crazy way, they thought they were doing the right thing. And the Lord says, like, that is the unfaithful. That is not what I'm asking for at all, of clearly. So we're gonna get to the verses and explain, but that's what he asked him to do. And so he's showing how the Lord was gonna bring back his wife. And he sent her away. We're gonna get to that, but then he was gonna bring her back. And much like what's happening with us in humanity, we were unfaithful. We were separated from the Lord for all these years, and now we're coming back. All of humanity would be restored to the Lord. We're living in the day, as I was praying, we're living in the day when we will be restored to the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? All right, so that's where we're going. That's where we're going in this study, okay? I hope y'all are ready. All right, so here we go. Let's read the question, why might Hosea be the strangest book in the Bible? Go ahead, Miss Tammy.
Okay. Yahweh's word that came to Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and the days of Jeroboam, and the son of Joash, king of Israel. When Yahweh spoke at first by Hosea, Yahweh said to Hosea, "Go take for yourself a wife of prostitution and children of unfaithfulness, for the land commits great adultery, forsaking Yahweh."
Right. So there you go. Right. First crack off the bat, the Lord says, go take for yourself a wife of prostitution and children of unfaithfulness, for the land commits adultery, forsaking Yahweh. I didn't understand this when I first would read it all those years ago. I didn't get it. I didn't understand I just didn't understand the severity of what was going on, but they were literally using God's temple to offer child sacrifice as if it was to the Lord, doing satanic sacrifices in his temple, in his house, and wherever it's done, it's absolutely evil. And they were told by these evil priests that was the thing to do. That was right thing to do. It's outrageous. So he says, and then they would have, this is awful. They would have these temple prostitutes, much like what we have heard about people literally, I think this just happened in California. They arrested this house where they were having all these women come in and have babies. And I'm sure that was what it was going to be used for, was to traffic these children. It's just, it boggles the mind. You recoil from such evil as that. And, they didn't really talk about this in church. Maybe they didn't want to talk about it. Maybe they, for whatever reason, we didn't talk about it, but this is what was happening. And unfortunately, that's what's been happening in this day. They've been doing this very same Baal worship. So the Lord said for him to marry one of these women who would be a temple prostitute, who would be doing these evil things in the temple. And the Lord says that the land has committed this adultery, forsaking Yahweh. So that's I would say that's the strangest. If anyone can think of some stranger passage in God's word, let me know. But I think that one takes the cake. That one is, what do you think, Tammy? I think that's it.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's up there. That's up there with them. So yeah, so it's a matter of ending this. It was going to be a matter of ending this evil practice. And we're going to see how the Lord is going to have Hosea, who was very faithful. I got to hand it to Hosea. He obeyed the Lord. He did what the Lord told him to do. It was as tough as it was, he did it. And I've just handed it to him. And I'm glad that the Lord did not give me that job. That would not be my favorite job. So what was Hosea's wife's name and what does it mean? Go ahead.
So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son.
All right. Gomer. Diblaim. What a pretty name. Love Gomer. So what did that name mean?
It's the name of the Assyrian captors used for the Israelites. And they wanted to think of themselves as prostitutes, unworthy and unfaithful to God.
That's right. That's right. And there's also, if you ever heard of like chimera, which is they've used that term for like a half breed, like a half, you know, where they do these horrible signs. Have you ever heard? I'm sorry, I'm red and pilling y'all on some of this stuff, but this is where they literally do these evil experiments where they, and even I think the jab is part of this, where they would put mix, you know, animal and human cells. They're doing this, and they're trying to make like half man, half beast type of thing, like the Isle of Dr. Moreau. Have you ever seen that movie? That's really what these evil people are trying to do, is trying to take to change our humanity from being human to being something else. So Gomer was also in that book I was telling you about, Missing Links, Discovered in Assyrian Tablets. It talks about they named them. Their names were changed, so it was very difficult to trace the lost tribes. And one of the names was Gomer, and also Chomer, also Chimera. Chimera is that half-breed mixture of man and beast, okay? So this is what they first of all wanted the Israelites to lose their identity so that they did not remember that they were God's people, number one. And number two, that they would not be able to trace their lineage. They would just be scattered and never to be discovered again. And that was actually pretty effective. But that's what's so amazing, is that even though you maybe have never thought about yourself as an Israelite, a physical progeny of Abraham, that you love the Lord. So it's really not even about whether you're a physical child of Abraham, but that you are a child of Abraham by faith, right? All right, so he's taking Gomer, which is symbolizing, as you just said, that this is this probably like a prostitute, a name of a prostitute, unworthy, unfaithful, and so it's really important that you don't think of yourself as Gomer. Don't think of yourself as unworthy or unfaithful, but think of yourself as the restored and the one who is loved. But we'll get to that. Okay, so keep going. What did Gomer's name symbolize to God?
Of God's people being unfaithful to Him.
Right. And he's going to use this whole chapter, this whole book of Hosea, and all that Hosea went through, to remind everybody that even though we are unfaithful, that we had been unfaithful, our ancestors had, and he had to send us off into captivity, and all this has gone on for thousands of years, that he really does love us, and he's going to restore us. And that's, you know, that's his whole, like I was praying at the beginning, he knows the end from the beginning. That's what he's always working toward. He's working toward restoration. All right. So that's how the name is symbolized to God. All right. So now read for us, please, this Hosea 1:4-9.
Okay. Yahweh said to him, call his friend Jezreel for yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel on the house of Jehu, and will cause the kingdom of the house of Israel to cease. It will happen in that day that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. She conceived again and bore a daughter. Then he said to him, call her name Lo-Ruhamah, for I will no longer have mercy on the house of Israel, that I should in any way pardon them. But I will have mercy on the house of Judah, and that will save them by Yahweh their God, and will not save them by bow, sword, battle, horses, or horsemen. Now when she had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, she conceived and bore a son. He said, call his name Lo-Ami, for you are not my people, and I will not be yours.
Ah, this is tough. Poor Hosea. But Hosea had faith that the Lord had a purpose in what he was asking him to do. So he marries this woman, okay? And you wonder if, you know, if the child was even going to be yours to begin with, because of, you know, who she was. You know, he knew who she was. And so he has the first child, okay? His name is Jezreel. And so Jezreel is the valley where Armageddon is said to occur, okay? Of course, we know that Armageddon, the Battle of Armageddon, is being fought on the internet, really. We're not going to a battlefield in the Middle East. I have seen it. I was there, and we got up on a high mountain. I think it was where Elijah had done the showdown, you know, between, you know, him and between God and the idols of Baal. And you look down, and it's the plain goes forever. It's all flat. A lot of Israel, what do you think of Israel or Palestine, whatever you want to call it, is mountainous. It looks like potatoes. It reminded me of potatoes mountains. Anyway, but this one area is that's just flat for a long, long, long way. So if you're going to have a battle, that's where you're going to go to bring an army in to have a battle. You can't really place a typical army on all these potato-shaped mountains. Anyway, so they call this the Jezreel Valley. So his name is Jezreel for yet a little while, and I'll avenge the blood of Jezreel on the house of Jehu. All right, so when you think of Jezreel, you know, I think the Lord was looking forward to the day when there would be the battle between good and evil, okay? And then he has a daughter, Lo-Ruhamah, and he says, I will no longer have mercy on the house of Israel. Basically, her name is No Mercy. That's not really exactly what I would want to name my little girl, right? But that's what her name, it would be No Pardon, No Mercy. In other words, they were going to be taken captive. And it was going to be very, very difficult. It was going to, you know, and this is why the Book of Lamentations, this is why Jeremiah is crying so much, because to see what has happened to God's people, they were set free from Egypt. They come and they're supposed to take you to the land of Canaan. And, you know, it's supposed to be so wonderful, the land flowing with milk and honey. It's supposed to be such a wonderful blessing. But the people didn't obey the Lord like they should have and cast out the Baal worshippers, and they ended up intermarrying with the Baal worshippers, and that's what happened. This is what happens when we give an inch to the enemy; they take over, and that's what we've all witnessed. We've seen that they do that, and so we can see how it can happen, right? So now they're going to be having to have no mercy on them because they have to be ripped out of this land. The Baal worship had taken over. And they could not continue to stay in this land and stay in one clump, or they would be wiped out. Not from an external enemy, but from internal, right? Just like what we're experiencing really in our country. We have traitors from within. What we're seeing in the CIA, these are people from within who have done this from within our government and our country. All right, so anyway, I'll no longer have mercy. And it's not, again, don't think of the mercy of, you know, the Lord didn't stop loving. He remembers mercy. He says you're going to have to be punished. You have to be punished. You have to be cast out, and in that casting out, it's going to be some really difficult things, difficult days. People would die. People would be bad things would happen. Let's just put it that way. In this whole terrible episode, and this is. And I'll get to this in a minute, but you know, many times we don't want to punish our children, but we do it for their good, right? That's the whole point. As Hebrews says, you know, Hebrews 12, I think 6 and 7, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father doesn't chasten? Okay, so this is what the Lord does. It's necessary for there to be chastening. And he says, no mercy. This Lo-Ruhamah is saying, I can't just let this go. There has to be punishment for this. Okay, all right. So then he also says, he has another one. This son is Lo-Ruhamah. Okay, I'm sorry. I think I said the name's wrong. Okay, well, first, okay, I'm sorry. His name is Jezreel, and then Lo-Ruhamah, call her Lo-Ruhamah. Okay, Lo-Ruhamah, and then have the son Lo-Ami. Yes, thank you. Okay, so now this one is, that one means, I can't remember what that one means. There was another name for that, what that one means. I didn't save that verse.
You are not my people, and I will thank not be you.
Yours. Okay, I guess that is it. Okay, so yeah, that's a tough name too. That's a tough name. You're not my people, and I will not be yours. Not really what I would want to name my my son. But he was basically saying, "You're gonna. This is what you're gonna feel like. That when they're being taken off into captivity, they're gonna feel like that we're God's angry with us. We're not His people anymore. He's never gonna take us back. That's what it's gonna feel like. Okay, so you might have felt that way in your personal life. You might have felt like I've done something so bad that I know the Lord will never forgive me. Okay. And so I want you to read Hosea in that light. Yes, we're looking at it in the light of what the Lord is doing for all of humanity, as far as restoration for all of humanity. But think about it for you too. For you, on each one of us on an individual basis, that the Lord loves us. And even if He's had to chasten us, even if He's had to send us away, even if we had to feel like He's not having any mercy on us and what I'm going through is really tough, or that I don't even feel like I'm one of His people anymore. I want you to remember this story. And know that the Lord does love us, and that He loves you. He loves you, and He is fighting for you for a good future, right? For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you hope and a future, right? That's from Jeremiah, I think 29:11. All right, so now we see the answer to that. What were some of the ways God's people were unfaithful to Him? What's the answer to that one?
Well, they didn't give up their Baal worship.
Right.
And they intermarried, and so we kind of.
Yep.
We're talking, yeah.
Right. They did not do what they were supposed to do, which was to root out this evil satanic worship that was going on in Canaan. They ended up intermarrying, and they ended up, participating in these satanic sacrifices, just like the Lord said they would do. They had to root these people out, and they didn't do it. And so, yeah. So there you go. Now there, the answer to the question is how they were unfaithful to the Lord. Okay, so what are some of the same ways that our society has been disobeying the Lord?
Oh, human trafficking, legalizing abortion, mutilating children, drug abuse, listening to lies rather than listening to the Lord.
Right. And so really, I think we might say, well, I didn't participate in any of these things, but if we didn't stop it, we were participating in it.
Yeah.
That's why it's so important that we work hard to save our society, save the children, doing whatever we can do and to being a part of it. And, I think some people have participated in pornography. Well, That's a damage to another person's rights, and that this is someone's sister, this is someone's loved one, and so you think, oh, that's a victimless crime. No, it's not, So these are the very things that someone said, oh, well, I didn't really participate. Well, if people weren't paying for this or getting ad revenue or whatever from someone going to these websites to look at these things, then they wouldn't continue. Okay, so it's funding it. If we're listening to some of these mainstream media channels, we're funding them when we listen to them. That's how we participate. If we listen to some of this music, we're funding it by listening to it. That enables them to have the ad revenue to continue it. So this is how we've got to push back in every way, and being a part of what you can do in your community to help to help with the schools or whatever it is that the Lord leads you to do. So, back to the story. Now, what are some of the ways the Lord used Hosea's marriage to Gomer to portray His message to His people? Hosea, chapter 2.
I will visit on her the days of the Baals, which she burned incense, when she decked herself with her earrings and her jewels, and went after her lovers and forgot me, says Yahweh.
Right. So it's a symbol. This whole marriage that Hosea is having to Gomer is a symbol of how God's people had been unfaithful to Him, and that He was going to send them away, just like we were talking about, and He would literally divorce them. Okay, so He says, okay, get married. Have these babies, and then you're going to divorce. Okay? How is this going to be helpful at all? Okay, but it's a symbol for us, and it's been a symbol for humanity for all these years as we've read the book of Hosea. And so also how he would restore them after they had learned, after she had learned to be a faithful wife, which again is where we are in the time of humanity. And so when it says that burning the incense, think of, you know, all these evil satanic rituals that they do. They burn the incense, they put on the garb, the earrings, the whole getup. And it's and all of this is about it's showing that, because it kind of sanitizes it, because when you read that, the burning of the incense and the wearing of the earrings, it's not that incense is bad or earrings are bad, but it's showing that this is how they would do when they would offer these sacrifices of children. Okay? Yeah. We didn't really talk about this. Did y'all's church ever talk about this? My church didn't talk about this. You know, we talked about a lot about having a happy marriage, you know, and we would read about Jesus, which was great, but this was not something that we talked about. It's probably not something that's going to fill the coffers with money. It's tougher. And I think that the infiltrators did not want us to realize that there was literal Baal worship going on to this day. Whenever we did even touch at all about any of this, I was told that this was something ancient history. This is not, was not being done anymore. And unfortunately, the truth is that it has continued, and that's how they've run the world. That's the whole point of Epstein Island. I was just talking with someone yesterday about Epstein Island, and she said everybody on TikTok is talking about Epstein. I said, but have they connected? Do you understand what was the purpose of Epstein? And she says, oh, well, the awful things that with children. And I explained to her what it was, more than just having sex with children. It was even sacrifices. And I said, but do you understand what the purpose of Epstein Island was? And she didn't understand that. They're not connecting that dot. So whatever you guys can do to help, whether you're on TikTok or wherever you are, that help everyone understand, this is how they got videos of people and blackmailed them using these videos of this insurance on these people. And that's how they've run the world. That's how they've controlled all the politicians and the CEOs and the judges and all that. And so, and all of a sudden she's like, oh, now I get it. See, because we're just sheep. We just would never think of doing such a vile, evil thing as that. But that's it. They don't really care about the children. They just want to get something to be able to control the politicians. And so then, you know, she's from another country, and her country was taken over. And I'm like, this is how they took over your country. This is how they've taken over my country. This is how they've taken over every country, is by they control them. All right, so this is the point here, is that they are, you know, when it's talking about burning incense and decking herself with jewels, it's about this whole system to garner all this power by doing all this evil. Okay, does that connect the dots? Yeah. All right, so I did already talk about it. What did Peter and James tell about the dispersion or scattering of Israel? Go ahead and read that one. I think we've read it, but yeah, we'll read it again.
Okay. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the chosen ones who are living as foreigners in the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. And James, a servant of God and the Lord of Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are in the dispersion.
Okay. So, what's the answer to that one? What did he say about the scattering?
They've been scattered worldwide and have lost their identity. And Peter and Paul wrote their letters to all of them. It's finally time for the Israelites to know their true identity and to be restored to the Lord.
Yay. Oh, I'm so glad I don't live into the time where it was when they were being cast out. I'm glad that I'm living in the day when we're being restored. Who agrees with me? I'm so happy. All right. So yeah. So he's Peter is right. This is his whole letter. This is the very first verse. And it's the very first verse that James says too. He's writing this letter. They're both writing the letter to the chosen ones who are living as foreigners in the dispersion, as I was saying before, in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. They're in, all these people had been, that's basically Turkey, you know, all these, Galatia is, you know, like over in basically the Turkey area. They're all living outside of the land of Israel. They had been sent into Assyria, and then when Cyrus came in chapter 45 of Isaiah, he had said, you can go wherever you want because I'm the king of the world. Wherever you move, you'll be in my kingdom, so you can go wherever you want. So they did. They went to all these places that it's talking about here. And he says, to the 12 tribes which are in the dispersion. So this is who he's talking about. He's writing to God's people who had been dispersed, and these are our ancestors. Most of the ones who are on this show are, you know, who are listening, many of you are likely have a European, are from European descent. And many of the lost tribes moved into these areas. That's why it's important. It's like, why is it important that we have these names? Because then you can trace them. As well as in that book I keep bringing up, The Missing Links Discovered in Assyrian Tablets, he traces them based upon their flags that match the 12 tribes of Israel. And you see that still to this day in the flags of the European countries and even in Russia. And then also you see that the language, if you remember, President Trump talked about his mother was from the Hebrides, as in Hebrews. Hebrews. Hebrides comes from the word Hebrews. They were in many of the names of the places, like Dan, the Danube River. That's from the tribe of Dan. You know, all these were scattered into these areas, but they were foreigners in that land. They were waiting on the Savior to come, but they'd been scattered. All right. So, again, this is important so that we understand what the Lord was doing when he cast them out to punish, yes, lo ruhama, you know, no mercy, lo ami, you know, you're not my people, all that, but not really. Because he says, I will be with you in distant lands. I will be with you, and you will be away from these Baal worshipers. You'll be away. You'll be scattered. And just like what was that name of confused the speech? Babel. Just like in Babel, he said for them to scatter. Well, when they changed their speech so they couldn't understand each other, then they were forced to scatter. He had told them to scatter, but now they forced them to scatter because if you all say in one big clump, they will easily, you know, end up killing you off through Baal worship. That's just that. That's what demons do. That's what they do. All right. So I hope that makes sense. Okay. So we're now at the time, you know, to do this. And the ones who are true Israelites are those who truly love the Lord. I think I've talked about that. I think everybody is on that same page with me, is about your faith. All right. So now read for us, please, Hosea 2, 14 through 18.
Okay. Therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak tenderly to her. I will give her vineyards from there and the valley of Achor for the door of hope. And she will respond there as in the days of her youth, as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. It will be in that day, says Yahweh, that you will call me my husband and no longer call me my master. For I will take away the names of the Baals out of her mouth, and they will no longer be mentioned by name. In that day I will make a covenant for them with the animals of the field, and with the birds of the sky, and with the creeping things of the ground. I will break the bow, the sword, and the battle out of the land, and I will make them lie down safely.
Isn't that awesome? I love that. The valley of Achor for a door of hope. You see that in verse 15? I love that. Even in the middle of where the Lord is saying, I'm going to have to punish, he always, if you look for it, you'll see that he is giving everybody hope, that there's a purpose behind it. Remember, when you're going through something tough, remember the Lord has a purpose behind all of it, okay? And I'm hoping you don't have the same job as Hosea. He had a difficult task the Lord gave him. But whatever task the Lord has given to you, I'm sure you've been through some tough things. And to remember, the Lord will restore and give you this door of hope. She'll respond there as in the days of her youth. And that's where we are. That's where we are. I was just working on the chapter, and I just shared it on the social media, where I was talking about the beautiful days that are coming in the golden age. And how, you know, the Lord is going to pour out his spirit on all flesh everyone is going to have this beautiful door of hope, and there'll be restoration, and there'll be, it says, no more deception for 1,000 years. So that's going to help us, and that's going to enable us to, you know, not have all this division between us. It's going to be so beautiful. This beautiful door of hope. And we will respond to him as in the days we came, when we came up out of the land of Egypt, when we were set free, our ancestors were set free from the tyrants in Egypt. So you can look at that in a couple of different ways. One is how we were set free from the tyrants physically, you know, no longer being under their oppression and basically murder. And also think of it in this, when you were under the oppression of the evil in your, that the enemy was trying to run roughshod over you, and the Lord set you free. So now you have the Lord as your master, right? But he says you'll no longer really call him your master. You'll call me husband. How cool is that? I think that's beautiful. I think that's absolutely beautiful. Again, this is what the picture is. He's wanting Hosea to be the husband who loves despite his wife's unfaithfulness. This is the Lord. This is the message of Hosea, that the Lord loves us. He is the faithful husband, even when we've been unfaithful, and he is doing what is necessary, even if necessary, divorce, but always in the eye, with the eye that of the restoration. Beautiful? Okay, he says, because it would have to take the names of the Baals out of her mouth, to, you know, and that's truly the way it is. We do not want to have one thing to do with this Satan worship. And that's why it's so important that we don't give the demons even a little crack in the door, not even one little crack in the door. In your own life, you know that. I'm sure you know that. If you give Satan one little inch, he takes a mile. And next thing you know, you're like, how did I get here? Right? So you're like, no, I'm not even, just, you stay right here close to the Lord. Like you've seen the pictures of Buddy and Bella. I mean, she's like right there, you know, snuggled up next to him. We stay right close to the Lord as, not just as our master to obey, but as our husband that we love. Beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? And so we're not letting the whole thing of Baal. We're not interested in none of that. Nope. We don't want to have Baal music. We don't want to have Baal entertainment. We don't want to have Baal anywhere in our government. We don't want to have any of these Satan worshipers anywhere. And ladies, check this out. There's a beautiful covenant with the animals of the field and the birds. No more will anybody be hurt in all of his holy mountain. The minor prophets make that very, very clear. Isn't that lovely? All right. Is there anything else about that we need to go over before we move on to the next one?
Nope. All the evil gone.
Amen. Yes. Thank you. Praise the Lord. All right. So now, question 11. What are some more promises the Lord gives us in the following verses, Hosea 2, 19 through 23? Who knew Hosea was so cool, right? All right. So go ahead.
I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness, in justice, in loving kindness, and in compassion. I will even betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know Yahweh. It will happen in that day that I will respond, says Yahweh. I will respond to the heavens, and they will respond to the earth. And the earth will respond to the grain, and the new wine, and the oil. And they will respond to Jezreel. I will sow her to me in the earth, and I will have mercy on her who had not obtained mercy. And I will tell those who are not my people, you are my people. And they will say, you are my God.
Amen. Amen. All right. Yes. So, yeah, everything's going to be set right. So beautiful. And as it said in the other passages that you read, you know, that even the animals, the soil, the grain, everything will get along. There won't be any more, you won't be afraid of wild animals. You won't be afraid, won't be worried that, oh, the plants are not going to grow. Things are going to grow. Things are going to, you know, thrive. Things are going to not be any danger. It's just going to be so wonderful. And it's here, it's marriage language in verses 19 through 20. It's, you know, talking about us being married forever. I'll betroth you to me forever. You'll be to me in righteousness and in faithfulness. This is, as it was saying before in this other verses before, that he's not just our master, he's our husband. It's a whole different thing than, you know, and you know, we, It's a beautiful thing. I'm very, very thankful that we are living in this beautiful day of betrothal to the Lord. You know, it reminds me of that song that our president plays, you know, Nessun Dorma. And it's talking about she's going to have to, if you don't know the story of Nessun Dorma, it's so cool, this really beautiful story, but that she is going to have to marry this guy. She doesn't even know who this is. And she's like, no one sleep. Nessun Dorma, no one sleep. Y'all got to figure out who this person is so I don't have to marry him. There's some arrangement that has been made. And she says, if I can figure out who his name is before the dawn breaks, and I don't have to marry this guy. And so on his stand, he's saying, I want the dawn to break so I can go ahead and marry her because she doesn't know it, but I love her. I'm going to be such a wonderful husband to her. And this is what President Trump plays that all the time. He loves that song, and I do too. This is the day of betrothal. This is the day of marriage. This is the day of our husband. Isn't that beautiful? I love it. All right. And so those who have not obtained mercy will obtain mercy. I'll have mercy on her who had not obtained mercy. And I will tell those who are not my people, you are my people and you are my God. So even though at the time Hosea was telling the people, you're going to have to go off into captivity, he's saying this is one day this is going to happen. You know, and it was a hard thing to hear. You know, if I had to sit here and listen to him say, well, this is going to happen in the future, I'm like, I want it to happen now. But they, you know, that was not good, you know, for them. But it is for us now. Very, very thankful that we live in this day. All right, anything else before we go on to that? Mm-mm. Yeah, I just love it. Question 12, I love how the Lord always sprinkles good news when he has to tell some bad news, okay? Yeah. And so where he's leading us to restoration. Okay, so let's do question number 13. Now we're moving into Hosea chapter 4. We're kind of skipping a little bit along because it's otherwise we'll never finish this chapter. All right, so Hosea chapter 4, 6, and 7.
My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you, that you may be no priest to me. Because you have forgotten your God's law, I will also forget your children. As they were multiplied, so they sinned against me. I will charge their glory into I will change their glory into shame.
Awful. Okay. So he's having to, again, tell some of the difficult parts were going to happen with the exile, right? So why is he sending them into exile, right? Because the evil priests were doing all this evil. We've talked about that before. Y'all know that. And so most of the people just had followed along. They followed along, and it's not so different from most people in our day, just brainwashed and don't think for themselves. You know, we have, and until recently, you know, I wasn't, until the awakening, I wasn't really thinking for myself like I should have been. And so, but thankfully we are now, and, people have trusted these ones who are not really trustworthy. All right. So that's what caused them when they were literally, this is outrageous. And I've shown you guys the video before where they had the showdown between, the prophets of Baal and then the Lord. And all of a sudden when they realized that the prophets of Baal were not able to light the sacrifice and that the Lord sent down fire from heaven and lit the sacrifice, they're like, oh no, the Lord is God. They literally had been duped. They've been duped, and the Lord knows that. They've been duped into believing this because these people have run the government, they've run the church, the temple, they've run all this stuff. People have believed it. And so, there was a great awakening, a mass start awakening then, and that's what we're waiting on right now is for a mass start awakening. All right, anything else before we go on to the next one? Anybody have a great A.H. Clay, the most trusted man in news. Yep. All right. Next. Chapter 5, verse 1.
Listen to this, you priests. Listen, house of Israel, and give ear, house of the king, for the judgment is against you, for you have been a snare at Mizpah and a net spread on Tabor.
Yes. Yep. So here he's calling out the royalty. He's calling out the kings. He's calling out the ones who have been in power. Mm-hmm. So he's saying, I'm pointing the finger at you. You're the ones who've caused all this trouble. You're the ones. And he's not just because they know. They know they're the ones that caused the trouble. He's letting the people know. Very similar to when our Lord Jesus went into the temple after the great triumphal entry, and he goes into the temple, and remember in Matthew 25, he starts just tearing them a new one. He says, "You're whitewashed sepulchers. People don't even know they're walking across tombs full of dead men's bones." That's what he called them. He says, "You're a brood of vipers, right? You're snakes." Jesus is calling them out, and so Hosea right here is calling out the kings. That's not an easy thing to do, but Hosea did it. Hosea was very, very, very faithful. All right, so what does the Lord say he will do in Hosea chapter 5, 9 through 15?
Ephraim will become a desolation in the day of rebuke among the tribes of Israel. I have made known that which will surely be. The princes of Judah are like those who remove a landmark. I will pour out my wrath on them like water. Ephraim is oppressed. He is crushed in judgment because he is intent in his pursuit of idols. Therefore, I am to Ephraim like a moth, and to the house of Judah like rottenness. When Ephraim saw his sickness and Judah his wound, then Ephraim went to Assyria and sent to King Jareb. But he had not been able to heal you, neither will he cure you of your wound. For I will be to Ephraim like a lion, and like a young lion to the house of Judah. I myself will tear in pieces and go away. I will carry off, and there will be no one to deliver. I will go and return to my place until they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. In their affliction, they will seek me earnestly.
I'm coming. Sorry.
That's okay. He's going to punish and crush and break his people until they admit their guilt and turn back to him.
Okay. Sorry about that. I had someone come to the door. Someone had come to the door. Okay. So that's what he's going to do. Thank you for doing all that. Thank you. Yes. All right. Yes. He will punish and break his people until they admit. And can anybody here give an amen?
Amen.
That's what he does. That's what he does. You know, and I can testify to that in my own life. And I'm very thankful. I'm very thankful that he will, you know, we talk about someone's reaching rock bottom. That's what he does. He has to do it sometimes to wake us up. And that's really what was going to have to happen. Ephraim is oppressed. He's crushed in judgment because he's intent in his pursuit of idols. You know, and it's taken... This was like 2,500 years ago. And it's taken that long to get this rooted out of humanity. Okay? This, because the Satan worshipers had just infiltrated everywhere. And so now you're like, well, the cabal is everywhere too still. But they're not in the hearts of the people. Because the people do not want Baal worship. Remember how 17 said, trust humanity? Humanity is over it. We're not interested in any of that. The people recoil from this. They had to go underground. If you remember, they were doing this in the temples above ground with everybody to see, oh, this is what we do. This is our normal practice because God expects us to sacrifice these children. I mean, this is crazy to us now. But now, then they had to go underground. Right? And so, if you remember, the Lord Jesus said to go into all the world and preach the gospel. So he was going everywhere. They were going everywhere to root out all this evil practices. And if you remember, like in some of these jungle places and places, you know, all these islands, whatever, they were still doing these evil practices. And well, it's basically been rooted out, so it's not being done above ground. So it's been done in secret. My point is, humanity is cleansed of this. We're not, you know, oh, some people are listening to this music. They're not into this. They're not up for that. The people refuse. Once they know, it tells you right there that that's why they can use it for blackmail, because they know that the people won't put up with it. And they recoil at such a thing. Okay. So, all right. So there you go. That's basically what he's saying. You know, because they were intent on doing this, that's why the Lord had to crush them. They had to be crushed. Ephraim saw his sickness and Judah his wound. Then Ephraim went to Assyria, sent to King Jareb. He is not able to heal you, neither will he cure you of your wound. This is symbolically saying you can't be healed of this. This is something you're going to have to, it's going to be take years to root this out. And that's, some people ask you, well, why have we had all this mayhem? Why have we had all this sadness that's gone on in the world? Well, that's why, because we had to have this evil rooted out of humanity. All right. And then in their affliction, they will seek me earnestly. On a personal level, I think that you would realize, you would agree that maybe you didn't seek the Lord until you were afflicted. When you hit that rock bottom, then you turn to the Lord. That's what happens in many cases. Okay? All right. So that's what's happened with humanity too. All right. Number 16. What does the Lord say in Hebrews 12:11 about disciplining his children consistent with what he is saying in Hosea? Okay, I'm going to move over here a little bit so everybody can read this passage. Let me move it up here.
Yeah. All chastening seems for the present to be not joyous but grievous. Yet afterward it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it.
Yes, yes, exactly. Chastening is disciplining, punishing. You know, I sometimes think of punishing as in not, there's not really a restoration thought there. Chastening includes the purpose, which is for restoration. Okay? That's always, as a parent, or as a parent of a new puppy, right? Whenever you have to scold, you're like, it's always to help them to learn to do right. It's always to help them, to bless them, not to harm. Right? He says, Behold, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. I'm not doing this to harm you. I'm doing this to bless you, right? So all this chastening, if you're in trouble, if you're getting punished or chastened, it doesn't seem joyous. It doesn't seem joyous. It seems grievous. You're like, no, I don't like this. But afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it, right? And we know That's what it takes sometimes. You know, you get a ticket. Like, okay, I'm going to slow down. You know, sometimes it takes that. It's not joyous to pay that ticket. It's grievous, but it does make us change, right?
Yes.
All right. So what are his children's responses in Hosea 6:1-3?
Come, let's return to Yahweh, for he has torn us to pieces, and he will heal us. He has injured us, and he will bind up our wounds. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up, and we will live before him. Let's acknowledge Yahweh. Let's press on to know Yahweh. As surely as the sun rises, Yahweh will appear. He will come to us like the rain, like the spring rain that waters the earth.
Yes, yes. So, I love that. He'll revive us. In the middle, and this is a beautiful symbol of faith, if in the middle of a difficult thing that you're going through, if you remember to say this, I know after a couple of days, he's going to revive me. After maybe three days, he's going to raise me up. All right? It's a beautiful words of faith. If you're going through something tough, say, okay, I know the Lord is going to use this for good. And he's going to heal me. He's going to bind up my wounds. He's going to make things better. And I know for every one of us, there's not a person in this chat, there's not a person on this channel who has not experienced something like this. Maybe I'm going through something likely right now. If anybody has their everything going rosy in their life and nothing's going wrong, please put that in the chat. I want to hear from you. I'm thinking everybody has something that's not exactly the way you want it in the world. But by faith, let's all say, the Lord will revive us. The Lord will raise us up. Amen. Yeah. Amen. The Lord will raise me up. Mm-hmm. Amen. And we'll live before him. And he will come to us like the rain, like the spring rain that waters the earth. And we'll be refreshed. And so and when we look on the picture of all of humanity, the Lord's going to restore humanity. Okay, it's a beautiful, beautiful words of faith, right? That's our response because we know he's our husband and he loves us. All right, Hosea 8:11-13.
Because Ephraim has multiplied altars for sinning, they became for him altars for sinning. I wrote for him the many things of my law, but they were regarded as a strange thing. As for the sacrifices of my offerings, they sacrifice meat and eat it, but Yahweh doesn't accept them. Now he will remember their iniquity and punish their sins. They will return to Egypt.
Okay, this is not my favorite passage. This is not my favorite passage. This is not my favorite. Okay, Hosea 8, what's he talking about here? Isn't that my favorite? They were using.
You might want to read that one in another version too, because it's.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Well. Yeah. It's pretty clear in this one though. It's
yeah, I know.
It's too clear. Is that what you're afraid of? It's too clear. Yeah. It's they were. I wrote for him the many things of my law, but they were regarded as a strange thing. They're like, oh, why would God want us to do that? Wouldn't he much prefer for us to offer children? It's just the thinking, the mindset was way off. And you remember that passage, I think it's in Micah. You know, what does the Lord require of you, O man, but to do justice, to love mercy, and walk humbly with your God? The verse just before that was they were saying, oh, well, of course, you know, God wants us to sacrifice children. He says, no. No. What have I asked you to do? All I ask you to do is justice and mercy and to walk humbly with God, with your God. So, of course, I didn't ask you to do such a thing as this. They think that's a strange thing. Why would God just ask us to offer a lamb? That doesn't make sense. It's a strange thing. But as for the sacrifices of my offerings, they sacrifice meat and eat it. But Yahweh doesn't accept that. Of course, I don't know who else has decoded these passages. I've never heard this in church. I'm thinking you haven't either. This is what was happening. And this is what's been happening at Epstein Island. I'm sorry to tell you that. That's why the people who know this, it's not just about what they were doing, you know, having sex with underage people, which was bad enough. It was worse. And it's this. That was my first video I ever did. I explained to them about Baal worship and how Elijah destroyed the prophets of Baal because this can't go on. This is straight from the pits of hell. This is straight from the pits of hell. They've got videos, screenshots of videos on the 17 board where they're having a feast. It turns the stomach. This is what the truth of it is. Okay? Obviously, the Lord does not accept that offering. Okay? He will remember their iniquity and punish their sins. This is something he couldn't abide, right? And they'll return to Egypt. In other words, they'll return to captivity. They'll return to being a slave, okay? Until the verse I was just reading, until that's rooted out and the Lord restores and the Lord revives, all right? There you go. I'm sorry to even read that. The whole thing just, it turns the stomach. It you recoil. At hearing such a thing, but that's what was happening, and that's why these people that we're fighting, this is why we won't stop. This is why, and President Trump wants Epstein Island to come out. The more he says he doesn't want to talk about it, it's the Streisand effect. More people want to talk about it. That's his genius, his media genius. And so here, you know, we will not stop until these Baal worshippers are cast out of the earth. End of story. Treason deserves the death penalty. And we're not stopping until that happens. This is where we are. We've been bringing out about treason. And they're using the word treason. And everybody knows what treason means. All right. So in Habakkuk chapter 2, it says, the stones will cry out of the wall. The stones will cry out of the wall. I think it's stones. I don't know if it's stone or stones. Anyway, I need to check that 2:11. Anyway, the stones will cry out of the the stones are saying they've seen it. Even if the people didn't cry out, the stones will cry out and say this can't go on, right? So, yeah, we just didn't know. We didn't know, but once we knew, once we found out. We're like, nope, we're going to jump in here. We're going to fight literally every day I'm sure you, each one of you has, just like me, we fought every day. We're going to do whatever we can do to get the truth out until these people are cast out. That's why the Lord chose you, because he knew you were tough as nails. He knew that you would not play and that you wouldn't stop until this was done. Praise the Lord. All right. So question 19, what happens when believers try to red pill people in the church or any other religious group for that matter? Hosea 9:8-9.
A prophet watches over Ephraim with my God. A fowler's snare is on all of his paths, and hostility in the house of his God. They have deeply corrupted themselves, as in the days of Gibeah. He will remember their iniquity. He will punish them for their sins.
Right, right. So he watches over them. A fowler's snare is in all his paths, and hostility in the house of his God. I hate to say that. But that's, unfortunately, you know, if you go to church and you try to tell them the things that I'm telling you right here, you're going to be met with hostility. I'm just saying. They're just like, no, we're not talking about any of that. They might be nice about it, but they're like, we're not reading that verse. We're not reading Hosea in this church. And we're not decoding it. That's unfortunately the case, because these infiltrators have crept in unawares. They're not really focusing on, many of them, on exposing and giving correct exegesis of God's word, of what we're up against, literal Satan worshipers. And so they are, the Masons have infiltrated the churches, and they keep a tight lid on whatever is taught. So even if the pastor wants to teach some of these things, they are on a short leash, most of them. So, and then they've been chosen. Many of them have been chosen because they have proven that they will stay in line. And a lot of the ones who will speak the truth, they're not allowed to be in positions of authority in a church to speak the truth. Now, maybe in a little church with 15 people, maybe. But in the big churches, it's not happening. There's hostility. And it's a fowler's snare, right? A prophet watches over Ephraim with my God. A fowler's snare is on all of his paths. A hostility in the very house of God. Just like Jesus. Where did he meet the most hostility? Was in the temple. With those who were the rulers in the temple. They've deeply corrupted themselves. And this is what the Bible says, that we were fighting the beast and the false prophet. Because the people believe when they're, just like when you think, oh, I'm getting the truth when I go to church, or go to the news. These people, you believe you're getting the truth because you go to church. And you've got to know the word for yourself. You know, I'm reading the word of God to you, but you have to know it for yourself. I have to know it for myself. You know me. I'm just a lady with a laptop. I'm just a lady just like you. I am responsible to the Lord. If I say I'm speaking his word, I'm responsible to speak his word in truth and not sugarcoat it. And so you, as far as whether you're a teacher or a listener, we all are responsible to know. We can't just say, oh, I don't know. I didn't read it. Well, why not? Right? And so that's why we're reading these things and we're coming to grips with it. Okay, so this is the truth of God's word that we've discovered what we're dealing with. All right, so what happens? It says a lot of times that person will be ostracized and even maybe kicked out of the church, ridiculed, called a troublemaker. If you step out of line and then don't just talk about the feel goods, the good feels. All right, so question number 20. What are most people likely to do in group institutions? Hosea 9:10.
Group situations. I found Israel situations. Like grapes in the wilderness. I saw your fathers as the first ripe in the fig tree at its first season. But they came to Baal Peor and consecrated themselves to the shameful thing and became abominable like that which they loved.
Yes. So, as I saw your fathers as the first ripe in the fig tree at its first season. Did I think there's a word missing in there. Anyway, maybe it's the first ripe fig in the fig tree. Anyway, they came to Baal Peor and consecrated themselves to the shameful thing and became abominable, like that which they loved. That's what I was saying before. People just pretty much just do as the leaders tell them to do. They just, you know, they just follow along with the pack. And that's where you are not doing that, right? You and I we're not following the pack anymore. We're searching the truth out for ourselves. Yeah. Do I have a little word, a word missing there? I need to check that verse right there. But anyway, that's okay.
Well, it depends on the version you're in.
We're in the WEB version.
I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness. I saw your fathers as the first ripe in the fig tree at its first season. Okay. So that's how it's said on this one.
Okay.
But let's see.
You want to pull up the NLT?
Okay. Second.
The reason we've used the WEB version, you guys, is because that one is a public domain, and we have the rights to use that one. Okay.
So when I saw your ancestors, it was like seeing the first ripe figs of the season.
Yeah.
But then they deserted me for Baal Peor.
Yes. Yeah. So they.
So it's a ripe in the fig.
Yeah. It's a strange way of saying it, but yeah, it sounds clearer in the NLT. All right. So anyway, they came to Baal Peor and consecrated themselves to do this shameful thing. So this is exactly what we're talking about. They agreed to do that, and just because they're going along to get along. All right, so that's what most people do. As question 20, I said that wrong. Most people likely do in group situations. That's what people generally do. All right, so question 21. What did the Lord do when the people refused to stop worshiping Satan and they did evil?
The high places also of Aven, the sin of Israel, will be destroyed. The thorn and the thistle will come up on their altars. They will tell the mountains, cover us, and the hills, fall on us. Israel, you have sinned from the days of Gibeah. There they remained. The battle against the children of iniquity doesn't overtake them in Gibeah. So Bethel will do to you because of your great wickedness. At daybreak, the king of Israel will be destroyed.
Yes. All right. The Lord had to put a stop to all the Satan worship. Clearly, we've talked about that before, or humanity would be snuffed out. The Lord will destroy this evil once and for all. Once and for all. So Bethel will do to you because of your great wickedness at daybreak. Like Nessun Dorma, at the daybreak, at the break of day, the king of Israel will be destroyed. We've seen that beautiful symbolism many times, like when there was a great struggle. Remember the struggle that that Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, he was having when he wrestled the Lord. So this is, you know, at daybreak, his name was changed. He received the blessing. His name was changed to Israel. That is a picture of what we see here at daybreak, the break of day, this beautiful new day that is dawning upon us right now in all of humanity. The evil ones will be destroyed. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right. So now it says, how does Hosea 10:8 compare to Revelation 6:15-17? You guys have heard this many times. It says they will in Hosea 10, it says they will tell the mountains cover us and hills fall on us. They don't want to be destroyed, but they're scared of the Lord. And that's exactly what it says in Revelation 6. The kings of the earth, his princes, the commanding officers, the rich, the strong, every slave and free person hid themselves in the caves and the rocks of the mountains. They told the mountains and the rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the face of the wrath of the Lamb, for the day of his wrath is come, and who's able to stand? I mean, that's exactly the passage. Cover us and fall on us. Not typical that you tell mountains to cover us and fall on us. So clearly that was, a parallel passage. Hosea 10:8 and Revelation 6:15-17 is this parallel passage. So these people, they'd rather the mountains to fall on them than to face the wrath of the Lord. Well, they're going to have to face the Lord either way. So that's real. I thought that was super cool how it was like, oh my goodness, this is the same passage in the book of Revelation. Okay, 23. What is the Lord's heart and will for his people described in Hosea 11:8-11? And yes, this one is in the third That third one is Zeboim. Zeboim. Okay, go.
Zeboim.
Yeah.
Okay. How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel? How can I make you like Admah? How can I make you like Zeboim? My heart is turned within me. My compassion is aroused. I will not execute the fierceness of my anger. I will not return to destroy it, Ephraim. For I am God and not man, the Holy One among you. I will not come in wrath. They will walk after Yahweh, who will roar like a lion. For he will roar, and the children will come trembling from the west. They will come trembling like a bird out of Egypt, and like a dove out of the land of Assyria. And I will settle them in their houses, says Yahweh.
Amen. So, I love it. I love it. Praise the Lord. I love it. You know, this is so beautiful. And I want to make sure that you understand what he's saying here. After he's saying, I have to punish you. But how? I can't give you up. I cannot give you up. Because of the love I have for you, I cannot hand you over and just let you go to Satan. Satan's trying to take over your country. Satan's trying to take over the, in this case, the land of Israel, where there were all these sacrifices being taking place. He's like, I can't just let you go. You know, I will not execute the fierceness of my anger. I will not return to destroy Ephraim. I won't destroy you. I mean, he says, I'm God. I'm not man, the Holy One among you, and I will not come in wrath. He says, how can I give you up? And I broke this in the answer key. The Lord's heart is torn within him because he's like, they have to be punished, but I can't, I love them. I can't let them go. I can't let them stay here. So he's caught between a rock and a hard spot, similar to what we as parents have to deal with when we have a child that's wayward. And we're like, what do we do in this situation? But you still love them. You still love them. And you're always working for their good, working for that restoration, right? It's a beautiful thing. And he says, then, I love this passage right here. It says, they will walk after Yahweh, who will roar like a lion. See my beautiful lion back here? For he will roar, and the children will come trembling from the west. They will come trembling like a bird out of Egypt. Like a dove out of Assyria, and I will settle them in their houses. In other words, that's what we are experiencing. What we've experienced, you and I, with the awakening, we're like, this is the Lord. He's rescuing us. We're coming trembling, like, oh, this is so great. I'm so excited. The Lord is here, and He's here to save us. You know, there's just this trembling with anticipation and excitement. So it might be a little fear, like, I don't know exactly what's happening, but I know it's the Lord, and He's roaring, and we hear His roar, and we come running for Him. And so, you know, we're like a little birdie flying to Him, and now all of humanity will do the same. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that cool? Isn't that great? Now that you have the decode of Hosea 11, this is the Lord's heart. I can't give you up. I love you. And then when that day comes, which we're witnessing, then everyone will return to Him. How beautiful is that? Okay, Hosea 12, 7 and 8.
A merchant has dishonest scales in his hand. He loves to defraud. Ephraim says, surely I have become rich. I have found myself wealth. In all my wealth, they won't find in me any iniquity that is sin.
Right. These dishonest scales, they can't figure it out. They can't figure out how I've cheated them on the Federal Reserve. They'll never, I've become rich, but they'll never know it. That's what the Lord was warning us about, how they would use not just dishonest scales at the grocery store where you think it's 4 pounds of apples, but it's only 3, which I'm sure they've done that. But it's, everything is a trickery. Everything is rigged. Everything is just, you can't believe what they're saying on the news. You can't believe any of it. Okay. And then what do modern day evildoers compare? How do they compare to the people of Ephraim? Hosea 13, 1 and 2.
When Ephraim spoke, there was trembling. He exalted himself in Israel. But when he became guilty through Baal, he died. Now they sin more and more and have made themselves molten images of their silver, even idols according to their own understanding. All of them the work of the craftsmen. They say of them, they offer human sacrifice and kiss the calves.
There you go. Says it right there. Says it right there. That's what they were doing. It's awful. So they've become guilty through this Baal worship. And now they send more and more and more and more. And they made these molten images of silver. Of course, they get rich off of this. They get power off of this. Right? We know that. These people, and they get a get out of jail free card, just like on your Monopoly board. Right? And they even the idols, according to their understanding, they offer human sacrifice. Yep. That's how these modern day evildoers are just like the ones back in the day of Ephraim. Unspeakable evil. Unspeakable evil, and how they get rich and powerful on that. So do you see in verse question 26, do you see a familiar reference in Hosea 13? How do we see it happening with people today?
So the sorrows of a travailing woman will come on him. He is an unwise son, for when it is time, he doesn't come to the opening of the womb.
Right.
Woman in labor.
Right. The woman in labor again, you guys. The woman in labor. Let me see if I can go back to it. When you go to my main page, Melissa Redpill, and you scroll down, you'll see the woman in labor right there on the very front and center on the page, right there. That's the woman in labor, the sign of the Son of Man, delineated in Revelation 12, 1 and 2. There was a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, 12 stars in her head, and she was in labor to be delivered. We've been in labor to get this done, right? But these people, even when it's time to be born, they don't want to come out. That's what's happening. So many people are like, wake up. And they're like, okay, I'm happy in this old ways. Can't we just go back to the way it was before? No, we're not. We're not doing that. We're not going back to the old ways where they're lying to us. Forget it. You're going to have to come out of that womb because you can't stay in there. We're not going to stay in this old way of doing things, not doing it. Another similar imagery is the old wine, the new wine in old wineskins. You can't have the old ways in the new kingdom of God. We're not going to have wars. We're not going to have these Satan worshipers. We're not going to have this evil stuff going on. The new age, the new golden age, not happening. None of that's going to happen in the golden age. All right. So now, question 27. Even after all our rebellion and waywardness, what does the Lord promise in Hosea 14, 4 through 9?
I will heal their waywardness. I will love them freely, for my anger is turned away from them. I will be like the dew to Israel. He will blossom like the lily and send down his roots like Lebanon. His branches will spread, and his beauty will be like the olive tree, and his fragrance like Lebanon. Men will dwell in his shade. They will revive like the grain and blossom like the vine. Their fragrance will be like the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim, what have I to do any more with idols? I answer and will take care of him. I am like a green cypress tree. From me, your fruit is found.
Amen. Yay. I love that. Thank you, Lord, for that beautiful passage of restoration. I love ending on that beautiful, positive note. I will heal them all from all their waywardness. I will love them freely, like our husband, right? For my anger is turned away. I love that. Isn't that beautiful? Put this on your refrigerator. I'll be like the dew of heaven to Israel. He will blossom like the lily. That's the golden age right there. The beautiful, beautiful golden age. And send down roots like Lebanon. His branches will spread. His beauty will be like an olive tree. His fragrance like Lebanon. Men will dwell in his shade. They will revive like grain and blossom like the vine, like wine. Their fragrance will be like the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim, what have I to do any more with idols? Nothing, nothing. We won't. We won't have anything to do. We will live under his protection and under his shade. I'm telling you, in Houston, it can be hot as heck. And then you go under that shade and you're like, it's not so bad, right? We'll live under his shade and his protection. So what does the Lord warn us about in Hosea 14, verse 9, the final verse of Hosea? This is the last verse. Who is wise that he may understand these things? Who is prudent that he may know them? In other words, he's saying, please be wise. Take this, read this book of Hosea and understand what you're up against. Literal Satan worshipers. You're up against literal Satan worshipers, and if you follow in their ways, I'm going to have to punish. But I'm always working toward restoration, like Hosea's wife being restored as a beautiful, as a husband and a wife, and that's where we are in history. The Lord wants us to stay away from idols, stay away from Satan worshipers, and get the Satan worshipers out. Isn't that great? How'd y'all like that? Mm-hmm. Good old Hosea. All right. Next week, we're doing Malachi. Parental discretion advised. That's another one. I don't know which one. That's a very interesting one, too. We'll get to that next week. But, yeah, get ready for that one. If you haven't gotten your books already, go to this page right here, Melissa. On Amazon, just search End Times and 1,000 Years of Peace, and you'll see the study guides are here at the bottom. You want to get the one that says for beginners. It says End Times Major Clues from Minor Prophets for Beginners. That's the study guide, and here is the answer key right there. All right, I think that's everything we wanted to talk about today. Let's pray. Thank you again, Lord. We praise you that you are our husband, that we will dwell under your protection, and that you, even though you've had to chasten humanity, and we've had to go through all of this sadness, we realize now that we're wise. We don't want to have anything to do with Satan at all, not even the littlest bit. We want them gone forever. Save us from them, Lord, and you come and restore us and make it beautiful like the lily, beautiful restoration for everyone. We praise you. We thank you. We love you. We're so glad for this book and how you've helped us to understand it. I pray for everyone on the Freedom Force Battalion that you continue to bless them and strengthen them and use them in a mighty way to usher in your kingdom. We want your kingdom to come and your will to be done on this earth as it is in heaven, just like heaven on earth. We cannot wait for your kingdom to be in full fruition. We pray all this in your wonderful name, King Jesus. Amen. I love you guys. I got to jet out of here. We did the whole thing. We did it. I'm so proud of us. I'm so proud. Yeah. We did it. And I had a great time. I hope you had a great time too. Uh-huh. And that's it. Did you have fun, Miss Tammy?
I did.
Okay. Bella's ready to go outside. Okay. Gotta I'm going to jet. Okay. Love you guys. Talk to you later.
Later.